Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Show, where we talk to inspire. My guest today is Grammy-nominated recording artist, songwriter, producer, and accomplished bassist, Alvin Garrett. He uses music as a tool to inspire positive change in lives, and he also collaborates with the Dannon Project to impact change beyond the stage, which includes working with at-risk youth and returning nonviolent citizens into society. So, Alvin, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello, and happy 2024. So good to be here to talk with you today.
And thank you for joining us. Now, where are you calling us from today?
From the great, great center of all movements, Birmingham, Alabama. I love to say that we're the center of all movements because so much moves
South.
And I'm right here in Alabama, in Birmingham.
Because Birmingham was the center of a lot of stuff, especially during the Civil Rights era. But now people are moving back to the South.
That's right. That's right. It's nice and warm, and it's a lot of soul. You know, I like to say there's a lot of soul in the South, and I'm glad to be here, you know, reaching out and touching the rest of the world, you know, by these type of conversations.
Well, wonderful, because we'd be conversating now. Because I'm just going to dig right in here. So, folks, off mic, we've been having interesting conversations, Alvin Garrett and I. So we're going to let you all in on a little bit of the things that we've been conversating about and then jump into some new things as well. Now, you're from Birmingham. You grew up in Birmingham. Did you have any siblings, or was it a musical household where there was always music and sounds going on?
Well, slight correction. I was actually born and raised just south of Birmingham in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Gotta say, Roll Tide. That's where I was born and raised.
Okay.
I grew up in, I am a preacher's kid. I'm a PK. My dad, of course, my mom, and my parents and my pastors, and working class upbringing. You know what I mean? Not a religious upbringing, working class, hope, faith-based teaching, hardworking parents. You know, mom working in the home at first till she started her own real estate brokerage as we got older. Dad being a coal miner in addition to being a pastor. So just that good rock solid, what I like to call the American dream household, where you have a foundation in God, but also a teaching of faith and hard work, which brought me to Birmingham for college, where I had a college scholarship to play football at Samford University, studied and got my degree in business management after playing ball and studying, and stayed here in Birmingham to take up roots, which is where I am now and have been for, you know, over 20 years.
What led you or got you into music?
Church. It starts there. You're listening to the music at church and you're watching the musicians as a young boy and seeing them slap the bass and pluck the guitar. I just became fascinated with it. I can't say that I got the musical gift from anybody in my family because we're not a musical family, to be honest.
Okay.
But my father prayed for my hands. He grabbed my hands on my 11th birthday and prayed and asked God to anoint my fingers to play the bass. And he bought me a bass at 11 years old. And so I can honestly say that it was through prayer and just my father's investment in me as a young man to give me a tool to put in my hands and ask God to teach him how to play because I can't. So that was the beginning of my journey where I just started, you know, putting my ear to the radio and just start learning to play by ear. And so that's how it happened for me, just being around good music in church, but then also getting exposed to R&B, jazz, funk music, and just different influences because my parents were open to different musical influences, but just wholesome music influence.
Who were some of these wholesome musical influences that you were listening to back then?
Hey, listen, I love, you know, your soul music like Al Green, Sam Cooke, the Soul Stirrers, you know, that kind of music. You know, you got your quartet music, the Jackson Southerners, you know, Jackson, Mississippi, just the mighty clouds of joy. And you start realizing that all of this music sounds the same. You know, that those influences are tied together. And, you know, my dad and my parents love jazz, you know, smooth jazz. Kenny G was one of their favorites. Didn't become one of my favorites, but I heard it all the time growing up. So it was just, didn't hear vulgar music in the house. You know, it wasn't this whole struggle between secular and gospel music. That wasn't a struggle growing up. It was, is it wholesome? My dad loved you know, good old fashioned R&B. He would say, hey, it's a thin line between love and hate. You know, he, because mm-hmm. he was rap. He liked to rap to my mama. She said, who are you rapping now? So my parents were in love, you know, and I can honestly say I saw black love growing up. And still now, after 48 years of marriage, I see that black love where they, you know, rap to each other, as they like to say. They say beautiful things, romantic, write each other poems, you know, and that wasn't just a fantasy growing up. I actually saw it in my household, and I know that it was an influence on me as a person, but as well as a writer and an artist.
Well, so that definitely would lend you towards, let's see, writing love songs, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But love songs that uplift, love songs that make the listener, and say if it's a female listening to a song, she feels like a person and not an object, right? Mm. If it's a male listening to a song, he's saying, oh, what he said, let me play this for you so you know how I really feel. Because he's saying the words I can't figure out how to say, but it's capturing how I feel. See, that was the type of music, R&B and soul music, the music spoke for people, right?
Okay.
And so that's what I believe as a writer and an artist that I've taken up the mantle to say, I want to write, especially when I'm writing R&B music, songs that speak for people in a way that brings us together, not tears us down. I don't want anybody to hear a song I wrote and feel down about themselves or about the people in the music, right? But to look at that person and see hope and feel lifted.
Lifted, uplifted, inspired. Don't you remember there was a time that in the music industry they were saying, you know, R&B is dead and those kinds of things, because it lended itself to so much rap music because that they were dominating the charts and still dominate the charts and dominated in sales as well.
And you know what? Those are just the statistics, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't agree that R&B music is dead. I believe that people have changed. You have to continue to do what people really want, even if they don't know they want it, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's the position I've taken with my music, and I've stood for this, you know, my entire career as an artist and a songwriter, that people want to hear something good and positive that lifts them, even if they don't know it, because they're being flooded with what mainstream may say, this is what you really want. But most people don't agree with what they hear. You know,
right.
If you talk to them, you say, hey, do you like being called a bee in a song? No, I don't like that.
No.
Do you like hearing the N-word in a song? Do you like hearing that? No, but it's everywhere.
If
you hear a song like By Myself that I wrote, something connects to you because it's actually what your heart needs to hear. And that was R&B. The heart of soul music was, we're going to sing to you what you need to hear sometimes. Right?
What you need to hear. Not, you don't even know this, but you do need. You need inspiration. You need to hear about real love. You need positivity,
yes,
to push you forward and things to help guide you along either your love walk or just general walk in life, being inspired.
That's right. That's right. And so I'm honored to make inspirational soul music, is what I like to call it.
Okay.
Where it's a blend of all of those influences through gospel, through jazz, through R&B, through soul music, to where I found my own identity to say, when people listen to Alvin Garrett, what will they hear? What will they feel?
Mm.
And that's, as an artist, that's my commitment. And I stick to that, and I'm committed to it in spite of the pressures from, let's say, outside industry pressures, because I get it. I understand it. But hey, if you want to make it, do what's trending.
Like, do what's
not against it.
Yeah, do what's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Right, but if you want to be a trailblazer, you're going to have to bring a little fire.
you got that so, right.
You have to go through the fire and bring some fire. And so with everything that I'm doing with my music and with my life, through my work in the prison reentry world, working with at-risk youth, I feel like I am helping blaze a new trail for this a different generation who may not have had the type of exposure to the type of music you and I have listened to.
Right, because I grew up listening to Well, R&B, of course, rap was mean. It was some of everything. The R&B, it was rap, it was funk, it was a little jazz, it was gospel.
That's right.
Yeah, because I grew up in the church as well. It's a mixture of all kinds of things, even a little pop, a little rock. You got some Prince going on in there. And then, yeah, it is a grand mixture of things. And speaking of all these forms of music, you've worked with a number of music icons in the industry. So I want to ask you about that. But before that, when did you get your break into the professional side of the music industry?
Well, I'll have to say, as a musician, my first introduction to mainstream touring was when my good buddy from Birmingham, Alabama, Ruben Studdard, won American Idol. Interesting story there. We were in a band and promoting local concerts, and he just so happened to go off and try out for the show and win, and I began to tour with him as his musical director, and I toured with the American Idol tour that season he won. And so that was my first introduction to the mainstream touring market from right here in Birmingham, Alabama. But from there, you know, I began to build relationships in terms of production, songwriting, and that was how, you know, I know he made it and everybody saw his story, but behind the scenes, I was basically, I'm in school. I'm picking up so many lessons and opportunities to expand my career on that level in the music industry. And from there, I started getting a lot of placements as a songwriter, connected with Fred Jerkins from Dark Child. A lot of people know Rodney Jerkins and Fred Jerkins with Dark Child Gospel and Dark Child Music. So I became Fred Jerkins' pretty much right-hand man in terms of writing songs. And we had placements with artists like Trinity 5-7, Dietrich Haddon on the gospel side. Mm-hmm. And then as an R&B writer, one of my biggest breaks was with the artist Joe. My first placement and top Billboard song was a song called I'd Rather Have a Love. And then I wrote a single with him and Fantasia called Love and Sex. And then came back with Love and Sex Part 2 with him featuring Kelly Rowland. So that was sort of where I got my break as a songwriter. You know, won a couple of awards, got a Grammy nomination, Soul Train Music Award, Dove Award. And so all of that came through what I like to say relationships, not just my talent, but the people I was in relationships with. So I always like to put that message out there. Build good relationships.
Yes.
By being a good teammate, not just being the most talented, but be a good teammate.
That's good advice, Alvin. Good teammate and the networking
yes.
thing, because even though Absolutely. you can put all your stuff out there on social media, but the solidified deals come through, or the big connects, or through personal relationships. They know you.
Absolutely.
So important.
And know what you can do, and know what you can do for them.
Right.
You have to be the solution, not just the star. Be the solution. And so for me, when I meet a producer, I'm a songwriter. I'm not a competing producer. Mm-hmm. Hey, I can write a song for your track. If I'm a musician for an artist, hey, let me play on your song. But if I'm the artist, you see what I mean?
You have to
approach the industry or any area of life as whose solution am I? Not how can I shine and take over the room, but how can I be the solution? Because people look for solutions, not stars, because the stars have to be the solution.
Oh, that's a good one, Alvin.
The star is the solution for a lot of, you know, so many jobs are underlying each and every star. You have maybe 10, 20, 30 jobs to that one star. So that star is a solution for many, many people and their jobs behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always about you. It's what solution are you to somebody else?
You reminded me of it. You know, this whole thing with Taraji P. Henson, and she was mentioning about what she went through in this film and TV side of things and what a struggle that was.
Mm-hmm.
And how she has to stay busy. She said she has to stay busy because she's got a lot of people to keep that star going. And those folks are like what
yes.
you mentioned, the people that are solutions to what she's doing.
That's right. Perfect example. Her career and her star was held up because she needed people behind the scenes to fill those gaps on her team. And so if you're an aspiring person in any industry, focus on being that solution to get in the room. And that was honestly how I began to build my resume, is because I'm multi-talented. I said, let me take the approach of being everybody's solution. Right.
Right. Okay.
from being down here in the South, I like to say, I'm the sugar in the Kool-Aid. You might not see me, but you're going to taste me, right?
I like that. That's a good
one. I'm the sugar in the Kool-Aid. I make everything sweeter when you put me on the table, right?
So before we go into some more of your music things, the Dannon Project. So tell me how you got involved in that and they're the nation's leading reentry and training to work agency.
Yes. Well, the Dannon Project is like, I feel where my calling, you know, I found my calling outside of just my dream. And I literally had developed a songwriting therapy program and went to the executive director, Carrie Pruitt, and introduced the program and said, hey, this may be great for your participants. And basically, it was a songwriting class that I developed for my songwriting style that takes people's stories and help them convert it into songs. Mm-hmm. And so when you're dealing with young people who have their own stories and how they tell it through music and through rap, like you mentioned earlier, my goal was to take the same story, but get you through this process to remove the negativity, remove the violence, and teach you how to deal with the violence through a positive solution. So it was a blend of therapy, mentoring, all through the process of songwriting. Mm-hmm. And it caught on like wildfire because we were recording songs, writing songs, building relationship, conflict resolution, all those things, but through the process of music. And that led to a greater role with the agency where I came on as an executive consultant, building more programming. But what ended up happening along the way, I was touched because I started learning so much more about what people go through and how far out of reach change really is for people. You can always turn around and say, hey, change your life, put the gun down. But what am I going to pick up if I open that hand? If I put down these bad decisions, where are my good decisions? Until you get close, you don't realize how difficult good decisions are for some people. So with the Dannon Project, we put good decisions within reach. And so that is something I'm very passionate about, is that when someone decides to change, you need a solution you can reach. And so that's what I do in addition to my music, and I use my music to enhance that program.
And that program is called The Right Life, is that correct?
Yes, The Right Life, W-R-I-T-E, where we take songwriting and show people how to write their life and how to change their trajectory through thinking and how to take control of your thoughts and your words. And because that's the process of songwriting, but it's also the process of vision casting for your life, you know? And so if that's a part of what we do at the agency. We teach people to develop a plan, you know, not just talk about the elements of change, but put a process and a plan for change in together for each individual.
And you made me think about something, then you were talking about your passion. So, Alvin Garrett, so what is so great about being you? What do you enjoy about you?
Ooh. Well, I can say everything. I really do enjoy everything about being me. And I was taught to enjoy that. I was taught to be who God called me to be and to love God first, love myself, and to love others. And so I'm not a perfect human being by any stretch, but I enjoy my journey. I enjoy my journey. I enjoy exercising. I enjoy getting in and out of shape, you know, to say, uh-oh, I got to change something. Get back at it, buddy. I like that about myself, that I can evolve. I love that I am further and I am something no one expected me to be. Nobody expected me to be the artist, to be out front singing the songs, being on the radio. They all expected me to be behind the scenes doing it for them. So I chose that through my faith and my hard work. So I am proud of that. That is nothing to brag about, but it's something to be proud of because it takes a lot of work to evolve and to continue to grow with all the challenges you face. And so I appreciate that about who I am. And I try to pass that on to my daughters to help them see themselves through the eyes of God first, and then look in the mirror and see something that they love. And I push that to them, love yourself so that the world can't tell you who you are, only God and yourself and Daddy.
And Daddy.
You know, that is well.
You know what, Daddy Alvin? That is so important because, especially with our younger folks and what they face with the kind of world they live in, all these images, all these messages coming at them, shooting at them, thousands of them every single day. You can get caught up in that and lose who you are and who you were meant to be.
That's right. That's right. That's
so,
right.
So that is so important. Absolutely. And one thing as well, you were talking about, I'm thinking about your other programs, especially with our young men.
Yes.
It is so difficult to be a man these days.
It is. But it's not a lost cause. It's not a lost cause. I'll give you a story. One day I was teaching a class, and it may have been 10 young men in the class, and I was talking about my dad, telling the same story that I told you and your listeners today. And unanimously, they said, "Oh, you know your dad." It was the most heartbreaking experience. And then they went around the table telling me their stories about their fathers, right?
Mm-hmm.
About who was incarcerated, whose dad was dead. And these are all people under the age of 24 years old, whose relationship was tragic with their fathers. But now they call me Pops, right? Because, I mean, man, you fresh. you stay fresh, right? You know, I don't wear tattoos. I don't pretend to be a thug. I don't try to be no rapper. What they love about me is I'm me. And they're the ones who reaffirm to me, don't change. Don't try to look like us. I don't say, hey, pull your pants up. I make it look good. I pull my pants up. I dress fresh. I keep my hat clean.
Uh-huh.
But I love them. And they take me as I am because I take them as they are. And that influence of just saying, I'm not condemning you for what you've been through. I'm lifting you just by showing you what you can be. And so being a man is about seeing a man first.
Amen.
I was blessed that I saw a man first love my mama in front of me, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so until you demonstrate what love looks and feels like to somebody, they just don't know. And so that's the first act that's the first point of engagement, is making sure they know, this man love me.
Mm-hmm.
He love me.
And being authentic and just being honest and showing genuine love.
That's it.
What do they call it? Being your...
We all find our own way to do it.
Uh-huh. What do they call it, Alvin, being your authentic self?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, let me hop off of that love train right there and go into your music.
The love train rides right into the music.
That's a nice one, Alvin. Rides right into the music. Now... So talk to me about your latest single. What I saw was like, Till I Get Back to You. And then you had the other part, number one project from one of those number one songs from last year was it Patiently Praising?
Patiently Praising.
With Dark Child Gospel.
I think that might have been 2021, a gospel song that hit number one on the R&B Billboard charts, Patiently Praising, or 2022. Sometimes I get my dates off, I'm sorry.
Okay.
But yeah, that was by an artist named Lowell Pye. And then last year, 2023, we hit number 15 on the R&B Billboard charts with the lead single from my new album. It was called Till I Get Back to You. And now we're promoting a new album called Safety, which, you know, hopefully by the time people are hearing this, they're able to go stream and listen to my latest music.
Wherever they stream their favorite music, they should be able to find it.
So Safety.
But is the latest single still Till I Get Back to You?
Yes, it is. It's still getting great airplay, and it is available online for people to go take a listen to. And that song, honestly, was inspired. It was a poetic love song from behind bars, shall I say. You know, mm-hmm. just being in the world I'm in, working with people that have been previously incarcerated. So what would it feel like to be separated from the one you love? What would that be like? And you can't get to them. And that was the premise and inspiration of that song that says, Till I Get Back to You. Holding on to the memory in my mind and just the thought of you keeps me moving. You know, so when people hear that song, it was just inspired by that vision of saying, I'm doing all I can to hold on just to get back to you and to be in your arms again. And so I love that record.
Oh, okay. Now, before we go, I do have this one comment that I was listening to some of your older stuff, and you did a version of, was it, what's the one? I want to be thankful. Thankful for what you got.
Oh, yeah. So, see, Diamonds in the Back,
Sunrooftop, digging the scene with the gangster lean. Ooh,
ooh,
ooh, ooh. I had to throw that in there before you go. I just had to throw
William
that
Duvall,
in.
William Duvall.
I'm mixing up the names.
That's one of the only covers that I've actually recorded, and I did a little twist on it. So I love that song, and that's just centered to who I am as a person. I just believe in being thankful, and we talked about offline about how thankfulness, joy, laughter, those are weapons for mm-hmm. your mental health and your spiritual health. Those are not just fun, soft things. These are things that make you powerful. When you can walk into the face of adversity and find joy to stand up strong and continue to fight forward. So that song, Be Thankful, I feel like thankfulness and gratefulness is the foundation. Because when you forget to be thankful for what you got,
mm-hmm.
like you said earlier, you begin to chase those images that are forced in front of you on social media. You begin to look at what you don't have and you feel down about yourself. The spirit of comparison comes over you and you feel less, as opposed to saying, but what do I have? And how can I be thankful for what I have? And that song really does it for me. It always touched me to be thankful for what you got. You may not have a great big Cadillac.
Diamonds in the back.
You may not have a car at all, but be thankful anyway.
Be thankful for what you got. Okay.
That's right.
Well, with that, Brother Alvin Garrett, it has been a joy speaking with you today. I love your positivity and the things that you're doing, especially with the Dannon Project and how you incorporate your music into that and helping these folks re-enter society.
Yes.
And with pride and self-awareness and giving them some inspiration. So thank you so much. Now, how can people find you on social media and give us your website, how people can connect with you?
Yes, I really appreciate the opportunity to share. It's alvingarrett.com is my website, and on social media is The Alvin Garrett, because my dad is Alvin Garrett. So I'm okay. The Alvin Garrett. Don't go to him. Come to me. So it's The Alvin Garrett on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X as they call it. But that's The Alvin Garrett on all my social media pages and alvingarrett.com.
Thank you so much. And thank you, audience, for joining us today as usual. I really, really do appreciate your support. Now, please subscribe to this show so that you never, ever miss an episode of its uplifting, encouraging, inspiring content. Now, if you'd like to connect with me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on X at Lynn Woods, that's LINWOODS, or Facebook or LinkedIn at Lynn Woods, or Instagram or TikTok at Lynn Woods 96. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Show, where we talk to inspire. Now, my guest, Alvin Garrett, is going to take us on out with a snippet of his hit, Till I Get Back to You, on the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Show, where we talk to inspire. I'm Lynn. God bless.
You're the reason I will never let go. And I've been